Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I'll be presenting today on pedostratigraphic influence of late quaternary lusses and paleosols on canyon morphology in the Rickby Breaks, northwestern Kansas. And I want to start out just with a map from Muse et al. 2008. Showing the distribution and thickness of lusts in the North American mid-continent. It's well known, it's extensive superficial deposits across the mid-continent, and in many cases, very, very thick and highly variable. So here's just a generalized stratigraphic section of Lake Quaternary lusts in Central Great Plains, and you have your soil, pre-Illinoisan soils and underlying lusts, Illinois and Love and Lust, the Sangamon soil formed in it, Gilman Canyon formation soils and lusts from the middle Wisconsin, late Wisconsin Peoria lusts with the Brady soil formed in the top of it, and then you get your Big Nell lusts in the whole scene with modern soils formed in it. And we're going to kind of zoom into the Arickary Breaks of northwestern Kansas and adjacent parts of Colorado and Nebraska. And specifically, so here we are, and specifically we're going to focus in on this yellow circle, the Hay Canyon system. And here's just an aerial photograph of the Hay Canyon system. So you can see that it's this upland lust plateau, very agriculturally productive, breaking dramatically into the breaks down into the Republican River in the distance there. So the Arickary Breaks, the box canyons of the breaks, they expose approximately 400,000 year record of lust deposition and paleosol formation. And they provide a great opportunity to study relationships between the pedostratigraphic sequence and canyon morphology. So just, this is a terrestrial laser scanning derived DEM. This is the headwall of a first order canyon. This is the mouth. So oftentimes at the headwalls, and this is the upland, you have, you know, things like Love and Lust, Sangamon soil, Aeolian sand, Gilman Canyon formation, massive Peoria lusts and fill on top of it. And you essentially have these simple, steep, linear profiles of these interfluve nose slopes. And they gradually progress as you go into the sidewall to these complex concave profiles in the sidewall. And eventually, as you get to the mouths of these first order canyons, as you can see here, you get lots of truncation, overland flow, real Golia erosion processes stripping off these paleosols. And many times you get Holocene fill positioned unconformably on these late Pleistocene truncated surfaces, and sometimes this residual in Pierre shell. So our objective with this study, at this site, we were kind of interested in the properties at three different scales. First, we were interested in headwall, sidewall, distinguishing those. Also by stratigraphic unit. At the soil horizon scale. And with the goal of assessing the influence of late quaternary sediments, soils, and paleosols on canyon wall morphology. So as far as data collection goes, we collected sedimentologic and pedogenic data to assess pedostratigraphic influence on headwall and sidewall morphology. A suite of pedogenic data by horizon was collected. Physical chemical data here. We also did a rupification index calculated based on dry and moist hue and chroma, and a horizon development index calculated based on structure, ped void surface features, and carbonate distribution. Those were equally weighted for the horizon development index. And then for the stratigraph data, essentially represented average soil horizon data, depth weighted. Here's just the canyon again, headwall, mouth, with some just pictures along the way. So you can see these are the canyons are pretty deep, deeply dissected. And this is just a point cloud with overlaying photos. And we were interested in getting essentially linear profiles of these interfluve nose slopes. And so the interfluve nose slopes were measured for slope, concavity, and roughness derived from the TLS-derived the point cloud. And so you can see the headwall position here, almost 20 meters, about 15 for the sidewall. You can see the different stratigraphy that's occurring through the headwall and the sidewall on these nose slope, interfluve nose slopes. I don't have near enough time to go through these, but this is the headwall section with our, again, about a depth of almost 20 meters on the side here, our physical and chemical pedogenic properties here, and the colors represent the stratigraphic units. In this one, we have Loveland Loess, Sangamon Soil, Aeolian Sand, Gilman Canyon Formation, Peoria Loess, and Holocene Fill from the bottom to the top. And just want to just briefly point out that they're the variability through these stratigraphic units with the horizon breaks that go through each of these stratigraphic units. And we especially thought that the Horizon Development Index did a nice job along with stuff like rupture resistance in breaking out these stratigraphic units and really just getting at this high variability throughout the stratigraphy of this region. Here's the sidewall section, again about 15 meters tall, and properties along the bottom. And again, you can see how with the stratigraphy and all these properties really breaking out nicely at different stratigraphic units. In this one, we had a residuum soil, Pierre Shell, pre-Illinois Lusson soils, Loveland Loess, Sangamon soil, Aeolian sand, Gilman Canyon Formation Lusson soils, Peoria Loess, and then the Holocene Fill. And that's from the bottom to the top. So first, we just wanted to look at the stratigraphic unit scale, okay, the stratigraphic unit scale. And let me just give a few examples. Let me just zoom into a few plots here. So these are mean. These are average stratigraphic unit landform properties, slope, concavity, and roughness versus average soil properties. And so this is just an example of mean stratigraphic slope versus sand, slope versus clay, and slope versus bulk density. And I just really want to quickly want to highlight that the black is the headwall, the gray is the sidewall. In these regressions, this is a Pearson product moment correlation in the significance level. And with these two, you can see the ones that are more highly correlated are the sidewall, the gray dots. And so we kind of started to see influences in the sidewall, stratigraphic influences where the Gilman Canyon, say, was overlaying and capping Aeolian sand, and the Sangamon soil was underneath the Aeolian sand, which kept the slope of the sand very steep and capped it essentially. That's what you see in this relationship on the sidewall. And same, it's kind of related in clay for the stratigraphic unit average, mean clay across the strat unit. You'd see these benches forming. It'd be highly resistant to erosion, so you get these flatter slopes, lower slopes, I should say. That's what you see in here. I wanted to point this one out because the headwall, it was a little bit more murky as far as the relationships, whether these pedostratigraphic controls were on the headwall position. This one here just shows slope and bulk density, where bulk density, obviously, as you might assume, it increases with depth. So it's getting high bulk densities for the lowermost units in the headwall. And it was negatively correlated with slope. There's a lot of hydrological processes happening at the headwall, especially with massive Peoria Loess, very steep profiles. But as water was coming, the slope would oftentimes, with these lowermost units with the high bulk density, would extend onto the canyon floor as a remnant of headwall erosion and these hydrologic processes. So it was a little bit less clear whether it became more clear that this hydrology was playing a role, maybe more so than the pedostratigraphic role at the headwall. So that was at the strat unit scale. then we wanted to look at the horizon scale, so centimeter scale resolution. And these are cross-corallelograms On the y-axis, you have cross-correlation Pearson product moment cross-correlation coefficients. So negatively correlated down here, positively correlated here. And on the x-axis, these are the horizons. So zero would be an in-situ horizon, whereas negative would be horizons downslope. Positive would be horizons upslope. And the dashed lines in here, the dots are the mean of these correlation coefficients, and the dashed lines are one standard deviation above or below. Okay, so essentially, for example, and this is sand log slope. So what's the role of sand in a horizon? What role does that have on slope? Well, essentially, we found that it was we looked at these peak correlations that fell well above or below plus or minus one standard deviation. So in this case, the headwall sand in a horizon was influencing slope two horizons downslope, whereas in this sidewall here, it's well above the standard deviation, and so sand in a horizon here was influencing slope two horizons upslope. Okay. And that's just an example. There's many examples here. Here's rupture resistance and log slope. You can see in the sidewall. Again, rupture resistance in a horizon here is influencing, negatively correlated with slope two horizons downslope. Okay, so we found that these cross-correlograms were really, really, really helpful. I might also point out HDI, Horizon Development Index, just based on qualitative morphological descriptions turned into a semi-quantitative index. Again, you can see things like this where HDI in a horizon here was influencing slope two horizons downslope. Just examples. We did that for soil properties with concavity as well. So you can see some of the relationships there. I won't go into them all. Don't have enough time. And also, we did this with surface roughness, all the soil properties and surface roughness. And just for example, you can see how some of these headwall, this is the black is the headwall, and here, here, and here. The headwall was influenced, these soil properties in the headwall was influencing surface roughness in situ. That's just basically, so we took all of this information at these horizon lags, and we put them, we threw it into multiple linear regression equations, okay? At the respective horizon lags that these Pearson product moment correlations were well above the standard deviations. And essentially, here we have our properties, headwall and sidewall, slope concavity roughness, slope concavity roughness, and then here's the strat and horizon for each of these and these soil properties. What's their influence on strat and horizon scale slope concavity and roughness? And just kind of in this table here, negative means negatively correlated, and a plus sign means positively correlated. Significance levels at 0.1 or 0.05 alpha level, that's 0.05. And for the horizon scale, the more number of minuses or pluses basically means whether stronger predictors of slope concavity or roughness in downslope with the arrow down or upslope positions. So basically what we started to find out, a lot of these were just more hydrological processes that were going on that were dictating kind of gross wall morphology. However, roughness in the horizon scale and the headwall, horizons were influencing roughness in situ a lot of places for the at the headwall position. But for the sidewall, you can just see a plethora of relationships here at the strat and the horizon scale. Downslope and upslope at these horizon lags, and especially with, we want to point out that you could use HDI. HDI was a very strong predictor of some of these landform morphometrics. So just really quickly, conclusions for the headwall: influence of stratigraphic unit and horizon scale variability of soil properties on surface slope and concavity was muted by hydrologic processes controlling this gross wall morphology as the canyons lengthened into the uplands, the headwall lengthened the canyon. But surface roughness was influenced by soil properties at the horizon scale and the headwall. For the sidewall, the influence of stratigraphic unit and horizon scale variability of soil properties on surface slope, concavity, and roughness exhibited stronger roles than the headwall in dictating fine scale morphology as the sidewalls extended towards adjacent first order canyons, the retreat of the sidewalls. One summary sentence here, these distinctions between primary influences controlling the headwall and sidewall morphology and retreat at different scales are important to consider when predicting canyon gully development and in landscape evolution modeling of canyons and gullies in other areas where thick and very highly variable pedestrophy is geographically extensive. And with that, I'll have some acknowledgments of some people. The landowners were very gracious to let us on their land, and many people helped out with the project. Thanks for your time.
So we barely have time for a better question, more just a discussion. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely at the headwall, and especially with the massive Peoria Luffs, the very vertical nature of the Peoria Luffs,